receive it, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We take authority and dominion over every spirit that would exalt itself against the perfect will of God. We pray that the angels of the Lord that already encamp around about this place would unsheath their sword, and that the flaming swords of the angelic hosts would hold back the horde of hell. And I pray today that the spirit of deliverance and conviction would come upon our people. And we give you praise. Could you thank him for it? Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I believe in miracles. If you didn't believe in miracles, I want you to look right over there at the young lady in the tan suit and look at me. There is a God in heaven. I don't know how that happened, but there is a good God. I told her today, I said, baby, if you keep getting better looking, I don't know what I'm going to do. But next month, we will have been married 18 years. That's a long time. And I have drug her all over. Believe it or not, how many of you have read any of her books? I know I've brought them here before, and many, some of the ladies here, thank you. I see several that read her book. She's a great author, but she tells stories, and they're true, like going to Calcutta, and we run out of toilet paper. It's a spiritual story. I tell you, it's real spiritual. You run out and tell me how spiritual it is. And I literally had to go to the black market, me and the young man that was there helping us. She stayed at home and prayed when we went to the black market. Took us 3 days to find out. I literally had to go in the real black market and meet people that probably normally were used to dealing drugs and dealt in toilet paper. And when I finally found it, I bought a 3-month supply. But she's had to live through stuff like that, live through going to Guyana and Central America. And I got a picture of her, believe it or not, washing clothes in a muddy bucket of water on a washboard. And then to see her come in like this and looking all good. Got our 3 cheerings over there. And somebody say, preach, brother, preach. But I do believe in miracles. I said that because I had a young preacher a couple of years ago come to me. He said, you know, I've heard you preach for years. And you preach faith everywhere you go. And he said, sometimes I wonder, does he really believe God that much? Because sometimes it's easier to preach what you really believe. Sometimes it's easier to preach it than to do it. He said, then I saw your wife and said, there is a God. So I didn't know if that was a compliment or an insult. I've been praying, though, today in Scripture, I guess for about 10 years or so, I've been praying a particular prayer that God would allow me to become a New Testament son of Issachar. The Bible said that in the Old Testament, the book of Chronicles, that the sons of Issachar had understanding. Say understanding. Understanding of the times. They understood what God was going to do. And they could tell the king. The king knew that if he could find the son of Issachar, that the son of Issachar could tell that there's going to be pestilence and famine or plenty or blessing or peril because they had understanding of the times. Say understanding of the times. And that's what I've been praying today, because I don't know if you understand, but there's some odd things going on in the world today. Not only politically and economically, but there's odd things going on in the atmosphere, in the biosphere. There's things going on in the elements and in climate and in weather. Am I making any sense to anybody? So if you have your Bibles and would turn with me to, let's just go ahead and go to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. We will go to Matthew 24, but before we go to Matthew 24, let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, then we'll go Matthew 24. In the back today, we will have a few things. I didn't bring many of you. If any of you had War on the Floor, you've bought our warfare series, raise your hand if you got that. Thank you. I know a lot of you did that. I only brought a couple of those, but I just finished a new series a couple of months ago, say 7 hours. This is 7 hours of teaching, not preaching. It's teaching. Matter of fact, my mother bought it and called me crying because she is so convicted. She said, my God, if anybody don't think you're a holiness preacher, they need to get that tape. But what I deal with is the mind. Say the mind, the mouth, money, and morals. And what I've proven here is if you don't have dominion in your mind, your mouth, your money, and morals, don't you dare tell me how long your hair is and how long your sleeves are. Oh, don't even mess with me about what you call standards if you can't keep from gossiping and know how to manage your money. Had people want to preach holiness to me, and the 300 pounds overweight got a chicken wing hanging out of their pocket, want to tell me I can't smoke a cigarette. The devil is a liar. Well, got a little quiet in here, didn't it? You might want to get some of that up. It's called Dominion Living, and it's the four pillars of Christian character: the mind, the mouth, money, morals. It's going to make you put your, my dad always said, the Cinderella doctrine. If the shoe fits, wear it. It's going to get you out of just culture. There's a lot of us, what we call, a lot of our little candy sticks are our Pentecostal culture. But if you want to get into what the Bible teaches, it'll make you want to go work out. It'll make you want to get up and get your heartbeat right in the morning. It'll make you want to manage your money. It'll make you want to prosper. It'll make you want to be a good husband and raise good, godly kids. You know why some people don't want to be Pentecostal? Because our kids act half crazy. If your kids don't know what fork to use in the restaurant, don't you dare tell me how to wear a bun on my head. Ooh, Lord, getting tight, but it's right. So just a little thought there. Now, also, my wife has written two books, One of them is an epic. I mean, it's just chapter after chapter. She wrote two books and published, and God's been good. Took me a year to write that. It's exactly let's see here. It's 40 pages. But it's on prayer. And God, I'm putting trilogy of three books out this year called Dominion Praying. If anything you would like to know how to pray with authority, this is brand new. Brought this today. We don't have a garage sale. It's just teaching series. It's $5. And it's probably worth about $2. But hey, most people just have a $5. So hey, give me a $5. We'll call it even. But it kind of makes me insecure pulling out her big old books, and I got my little booklet. But I told her that's just because I can say more in a little amount of time. And her response was, yeah, right. But I'm so glad to be here today. Matthew chapter 12. If you're a visitor, I want you to know that God is not against you, but he is for you. Last night, I began to try to give us understanding that the level of the attack you're on can determine the level of anointing that is in your life and what God wants to do for you. But now today we're going to go in a little different direction. Verse 38 of chapter 12 of Matthew. Certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Say, the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater, say greater than Jonah, is here. Then Matthew 24, and I'm sure at this time in your life, many of you have been reading the book of Matthew, because much of our attention is in this chapter. Verse 3, and he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, this is not talking about when he returned after death at the initial fourth day after the resurrection. But they tie it in, because a lot of people say it's talking about that dispensation. But they say, and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of war. Say, done that. And rumors of war. Say, done that. And see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Say, done that. Kingdom against kingdom. Done that. And there shall be famine. Say, done that. Pestilence. Say, done that. Earthquake. Say, done that. In diverse, not divers, it's not talking about California, in diverse places, which means different places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now go to, I believe it's verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, say, as they were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's a comedian by the name of Bill Engvall. I know there's no rednecks in here. But there's a comedian that hangs out with Jeff Foxworthy. I'm thinking about writing a book because you know you're a preacher if. You know, they got that, you know, you're a redneck if. I'm thinking about doing, you know, you're a preacher if your favorite bouquet is made out of yellow tithing envelopes. But he this joker has made $1 million or more on this little slogan called "Here's Your Sign." I'm not going to tell any redneck jokes today, but I am going to preach to somebody. Here's your sign. Some of you have been praying and asking for a word and for the Lord to speak to you. Just look at your neighbor, high five him, and tell him, here's your sign. Today, here's your message. This is a word of the Lord for you. Clap your hands and begin to give God praise. I bless the name of Jesus. Can be seated. It really doesn't matter to me today if you shout, if you run, if you scream, but what matters to me today is if somebody stops their descent to hell and decides today that this is as far as I go messing with the devil. This is as far as I go with my addiction and my problem. Today is the day when alcoholism stops in my life. Today is the day when drug addiction stops in my life. Today is the day that lust breaks its hold off me. Today is the day when depression, when I'm going to shout it off, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Today is the day that I'm going to get over my bitterness and I choose to get better. I'm going to repent over my rebellion. Today is the day that I am going to decide for deliverance. Look at your neighbor and say, today is the day. It behooves us today that we get serious about what's going on. Look at your neighbor and say, get serious. If you simply come to hear a sermon today, you're in the wrong church. But if you come to hear a preacher tell you that it's time to wake up, because I honestly believe that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back for a church that is without spot nor blemish. And it scares me in the last few weeks with everything that's going on in the Middle East, and with warfare, and with earthquakes, and with tornadoes, and with hurricanes, and with pestilence, and with famine, and even our American people are starving together in some areas because they don't have electricity or gasoline, that the church just wants to keep going ahead and play in church, that the church just keeps going ahead wanting to put on a nice suit and come sing our song and feel good about ourselves. But I've come to tell somebody, Jesus is coming back, and I'm tired of playing games. And I would do you a disservice today if I did not try to preach to somebody that God is trying to wake up his church and give somebody a sign. Tell your neighbor, here's your sign. There is a time for us to communicate. There is a time to preach the way I preached last night, where I encouraged you and lifted you up. Then there is a time to take this Bible and say, it really doesn't matter if you prosper financially or not. It really doesn't matter if God heals your body or not. It really doesn't matter if you really learn how to feel good about yourself or not. It really doesn't matter if your clothes fit you well or not. It really doesn't matter if you drive a Cadillac or a bicycle, but what matters is when the trump of God sounds. Are you ready when Jesus comes? I wish I was preaching to somebody. Are you living a private life, going through a church world? Have you learned to play games in church and how to look good in church and live like the devil in private? Or is there somebody here that says, I want my public life to match my private life? And more important than shouting and dancing and prosperity and blessing and healing and deliverance is, I must be saved. Somebody wrote a song that said, above all else, I must be saved. Years ago, I was in Africa, and I was in a wedding, and in the middle of the wedding, my father was doing the ceremony, and right at the point where they said, you may greet your bride. I never did understand greet your bride. It was like you're going to shake her hand or something. I don't want to shake her hand. I wanted to kiss my bride. And right at the point of you may greet your bride, one of the old pastors in the back of the church, he just kind of yelled out. I didn't understand what he meant. He just said, Maranatha. When he said Maranatha in English, that's Maranatha. When he said Maranatha,
The entire church jumped up. Pews started getting knocked out of the way. Somebody dropped the bass drum over. They began to dance and jump and leap with their hands up in the air. I saw the bride right at the point of kissing, right at the point of embracing her new husband, throw her hands up in the air and leap up and say, Jesus revient bientôt. I said, what are they saying? They said, they just said, Lord Jesus, return quickly. Lord Jesus, return quickly. Right at the point, I said, that's half crazy. A few weeks later, I was at a funeral. In the funeral, the preacher was getting up to do the eulogy. Everything was calm. All of a sudden, not the same man, just an old woman in the church, halfway back in the auditorium, opened her mouth and said, Maranatha. When she said Maranatha, the entire place went crazy. It's a miracle they didn't turn the casket over. But the entire place went crazy and they began to worship the Lord. After that was over, I took one of the young men aside and said, you got to explain something to me. Every time one of these old people say Maranatha, the entire church goes crazy. He said, oh, Brother Jonathan, don't you know nothing? Here in Africa, we have what we call the rapture drill. In America, you have fire drill. In America, you have earthquake drill. In America, when you went to school, brother, did they put the fire alarm and they say, oh, we're going to practice just in case there's a fire? He said, what we're practicing for is more important than a fire. What we're practicing for is more important than an earthquake. What we're practicing for is more important than a hurricane. He said, we are practicing for the rapture. He said, didn't the Bible say that when the trump of God shall sound, that the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night? No man knows the day or the hour, but he's going to come like a thief, not a robber. A robber will hold you up, but a thief will break in and steal it if it's under your pillow. You can put $1,000 watch under your pillow. A thief can come in and take it, and you'll wake up and not even know it's gone. He's not going to come like a robber. He's going to come like a thief. I believe that the rapture will come and go, and many people won't even know it ever happened, because he's going to come like a thief to catch his bride away. And he said, nobody knows when he's coming. So here's what we teach our people. Before you walk in that bar, I want you just to think, Maranatha. Before you take a sip off that bottle, I want you to think Jesus is coming. Before you go in the back seat of that car, I want you to think Jesus is coming. Before you sell your soul for a dollar, I want you to think that Jesus is coming. I said, he says, so what we do, we have trained our people to have rapture drills. And at any minute, a mother could be at the breakfast table. I learned it after going there. Still, when I go there, at any minute, a funeral, a wedding, in the store, it don't matter. I'm going to tell you how messed up it really is. I was a mischievous teenager, and I was in the market one day, and two of the old pastors come through the market, and I waited until they got their hands full of fruit and vegetables. I waited until they got their hands ready. Please don't tell nobody I did this, but I walked up right behind them. I said, they going to believe this or not? Do they really believe this, or they just do it at church? I walked up behind them and scream, Maranatha. Before I knew it, they had dropped things all over everything. They had dropped it on the concrete, had their hands raised to heaven. I said, why do y'all jump up so high? They said, oh, we just practice it because we know the Holy Ghost is going to catch us up, but we're just going to try to get as high as we can go. We're just going to jump and get as high as we can get. Am I preaching to anybody today? What we need to have today is a rapture drill. What we need to have today is a Maranatha. What we need to have today is an examination. Are you ready? High five your neighbor and ask them, are you ready for the rapture? Sit down. And y'all don't sit down, but I hear you. Listen to me. We have turned the American church into a Cinderella fairy tale. We have turned the American Pentecostal church that if you come in here and cry crocodile tears, that God's going to give you a new car, and that he'll give you the right man, and that he'll prosper you and he'll bless you. Sometimes he does it, but if he doesn't do it, I'm going to trust him anyway. Yea, though he slay me. I wish we could get back to the basics. I'm not here just to get blessed. I'm here to get saved. I'm not just here. Oh, Lord, I need to preach in here. I'm not here just to sing the songs. I'm not here just to dance the dance. All that won't matter if I lift my eyes in hell and the flames of hell are licking my flesh. But I know in my soul that if I repent of my sins and if I'm water baptized in the name of Jesus and if he fills me with his spirit, it is a sign that I'm going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You ought to clap your hands and give God praise. I feel like preaching here. High five somebody and say, here's your sign. We need to get serious, elder, and realize, are you ready for the rapture? I've had people tell me before, well, Brother Super, I feel like God's calling me to preach, but I just can't keep from committing fornication. Honey, God ain't calling you to preach. God's trying to get a devil out of you. You're not hearing me. I feel like the Lord wants to use me. How's the Lord going to use you when you owe everybody around town? Why don't you focus on paying your bills off and getting saved, and then God might want to use you. I need to preach up in here. I don't understand why Brother Sutton won't use me in Sunday school and let me sing. I can sing better than anybody in the church. I'd rather have somebody saved that couldn't even sing than to have somebody with all the talent in the world, because you can go to a bar and get entertainment. I don't come to church to get entertained. I come to church to join together with other believers, to lift up holy hands and to sing and to worship and to bless the name of the Lord, because it's not about my entertainment. Am I preaching to anybody? We have turned the American church into an entertainment society, to where we care more about how it sounds to us, how it feels to us. That's why there's some people that don't like this church. That's why there's some people that don't fit in this church, because this is not a spectator sport around here. It's a participating sport. You can't just sit around and watch while the choir sings. But if you're going to go to this church, you're going to lift up your hands. You're going to lift up your feet. You're going to open your mouth. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Am I preaching to anybody? Look at him again and ask him, are you ready, sir? If Jesus would come now, are you ready for the rapture? Do you need to repent? Do you need to pray through? Do you need to search your heart? If we could understand the Maranatha principle, we would live all the time waiting to hear the trumpet sound, because I'm ready for the rapture. I practice for the rapture. I know your preacher preaches a lot around here, but when's the last time you really got convicted because Jesus was coming back? When's the last time the fear of hell gripped your heart and the fear of God got a hold of you? Because the psalmist said, this is what David said. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have the fear of God, don't try to get anything else. We have a young generation coming up that don't even know how to fear God. They don't even know how to behave in church. When's the last time you saw people slain in travail with tears in their eyes? Not because they wanted something, not because they made a mistake. Many times, what we call conviction, ooh, I feel like preaching. What time is it? Oh, it's early. Many times what we call conviction, dear brother, is not conviction, but it's people that are ashamed they got caught. So they got to come to the altar and they got to cry out of their insecurity, because they already know that half the church knows what they've been doing. So they have to come down and repent because they got caught. But conviction is when nobody knows it, but you're searching your own heart, because the Spirit of the Lord is squeezing your heart. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you. Tell somebody, here's your sign. If you're hearing me preach today and you're not saved, I've come to tell you, today's your day. Today is the day to pull you out of your addiction, to pull you out of your heartache, to pull you out of your shame, to pull you out of your depression, to pull you out of your sin. If you believe it, raise your hands to heaven. Raise your hands to heaven. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Ooh. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Conviction is already here. Conviction is already here. Conviction is, come on, pray somebody. See, it really doesn't matter how many times you run laps around here. If you're not saved, what matters? It really doesn't matter how many times you jump up and down. If you're not saved, it don't matter. I'm preaching to somebody today. Let me help you today to understand that the only thing that matters isn't your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your boss, your career. The only thing that matters is not your destiny. What matters is your deliverance. And I need somebody in here that would say, preacher, I can't leave this service. I was studying last night. You can be see. I was studying last night and this morning, doing a lot of research about this message, and I'm not going to get into all the research I found. But one thing that shocked me is when I began to study earthquakes, that just in the last two days, there have been 12 earthquakes in the world. That if you will take, they have a seismic reader that you can get on and you can look all around the world, and the yellow circles determine the earthquakes that have happened just in the last 24, 48 hours. If you begin to look and you begin to study how many earthquakes have happened in the last 10 years compared to the last 2,000 years, if you could begin to determine the famine and the pestilence and the war and the rumors of war, and then if you could ever understand for you Americans that somehow have a theology that Jesus is going to come back while you've got everything you need. If you believe that the rapture is going to come while America is just fat and sassy, you need to get you a Bible, or you need to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah, because I rebuke the racist American mentality that tries to tell me that America is not going to have to go through what the rest of the world is going through. I've come to tell you that there's a collapse coming, there's famine coming, there's war coming, there's I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm trying to tell the church, here's your sign. All it would take is for every insurance agency in America to go bankrupt, and your world would be turned upside down within 24 hours. All it would take is for gas prices to go to $5 a gallon, and some of you wouldn't even be able to go to work. And if you couldn't go to work, you couldn't get a job. And if we didn't have jobs, they couldn't pay taxes. If you didn't pay taxes, the social welfare system would collapse. And what would happen? You say, oh, you're a prophet of doom. That's what they called Noah. That's what they said Noah was when Noah was trying to build an heart. I don't usually preach this way. I don't usually preach, but I would stand in judgment if I didn't tell somebody, you need to read the signs, baby. You need to read the sign. Here's your sign. If I ever played games with God, I'd stop right now. If I'd ever been backslid, I'd get right now. If I'd been holding hands with Jesus and winking at the devil, I'd get right now. Oh, I need the spirit of travail to come in this. Brother Freeman, am I making any sense? If you can study scripture, I don't want to have a debate with you. I can't even find America in prophecy scripture. I've had people get up and say all this kind of stuff, that God owes us something because we're good to Israel. Oh, give me a break. You think we've done anything for them without getting something back? Do you know anything about politics? It don't matter what party you're a part of. They're all sinners. I didn't come to get political. I come to get religious. I come to tell you it's time to get right. It's time to get saved, or you're going to get left. See, when I just said that, I felt tension come in the room, because there's people like, oh, I thought if we did this, everything would be all right. I've come to tell you, get rid of your false security. The only security you have is the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run therein and are safe. Say the righteous, not the sinner, but the righteous run therein and are safe. Sit down. I feel like preaching. Am I boring you yet? When I studied the sign of the prophet Jonah, Jesus turned around to the church of his day, the Pharisee and the scribe, the scholars that tried to read the signs. They were always debating, oh, when's it going to happen? When's the Messiah coming? The Messiah was standing there and they didn't even recognize him. That's kind of scary, isn't it? They spent their entire lives looking at signs. And when the Son of God was standing there talking to him, they thought he was the son of Beelzebub, because they were so caught up in theory that they didn't understand any experience. I worry about people that always want to debate philosophy with me, that always want to talk prophecy with me, but I don't ever see them travailing and talking in tongues and getting their life right. They're always wanting to talk, well, are you post-trib or mid-trib or this trib or post-toastage? It really don't matter. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you still bound by iniquity? Are you still bound by perversion and lust and fear and depression and suicide? Are you still bound? Or he that the Son has set free is free indeed. Look at somebody and ask them, are you free or are you bound? Ask the other neighbor, are you free or are you bound? I don't know what I tell you. If you can't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning without wanting to go out and get a smoke, you're bound. If you can't make it to 12 o'clock noon without having to get you a drink, you're bound. If you can't fast without going out and eating a milkshake, you're bound. Oh, you're not hearing me. If you can't pay your tithes because you'd rather buy a toy than bring your money to the altar, you're bound. Are you free or are you bound? He that the Son has set free is free. And is this all right? Am I boring anybody? But Jesus turned around and said, I'm going to tell you the sign you're going to get. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. I understand that metaphorically speaking, that Jesus was prophesying of his own death and that he would go to the grave, and that when he arose, the sign of the end time is when Peter preached the message, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He was preaching the sign of the prophet Jonah. Because when Jonah came out of the belly of the whale, he preached repentance. And when Jesus came out of the belly of the earth, he put his doctrine in the mouth of his servant and he preached repentance. Here's what Jesus taught. He said, the more you hear repentance preached, the more you hear conviction preached, the more a preacher begins to try to stir your heart and tell you that the end is coming, you'll know that you're closer to the rapture. Now, God dealt with me years ago, a principle about Jonah. I was praying this week. I said, God, how am I going to preach this? Because I thought it kind of sounded good. Here's your sign. I almost walked in here with a big old sign. Started passing out signs today. Because, see, some of you do not really understand that the church is not a social welfare system. This is not where you come to make friends and influence people. I get so aggravated when people tell me, well, I had to leave that church. I'm like, well, why did you leave? Oh, I didn't have any friends there. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. You're not hearing me in here. How are you going to leave a truth preaching church just because you can't hang out with somebody? I'd rather hang out with myself and go to heaven than hop around everywhere and not get stable somewhere and not get saved. Oh, I need to preach to somebody. Oh, I backslid. Why did you backslide? Well, you know Sister Sally better than you. I heard she was on the telephone the other day and that she said that I wasn't really sincere. And you just don't know what she said about me. No, and you don't either. You just listen to some idiot telling you what they thought they heard. Whose report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. I'm healed, saved, delivered. I come to preach to somebody. Are you going to get bitter and offended? Are you going to let hell push you out of your destiny over, oh, I just don't feel good. I got arthritis. I'm just going to stay home because my big toe hurts. Honey, there's too much to go to heaven for. I don't have time to stay. I don't have time. I don't have time to get offended, to get hurt, to get negative. I don't have the time to get mad. I don't have the time to get aggravated. So here's your sign. I'm about to close. Have I been preaching too long? Where's my music at my name? But now, when I studied the sign of Jonah, something I found that I haven't heard preached a whole lot is that if you could understand Jonah was called to Nineveh, say Nineveh. You need to understand that Nineveh was so sinful that God told Jonah, I want you to go preach to them. Now, God said he was going to send judgment, but God never sends judgment unless he first sends a warning. That's the reason I know something's going on in the spirit. You hear me. If I was you, I would walk out of here today and get my family, get my money, get my life in order in the next few days, and I would begin to examine my life and begin to examine everything that I have. Because here's the deal. If before God sends judgment, he will send a word to his church. He will send a warning to his church. He will send a prophetic sign to his church telling people to get ready or to get left. Now, what you must understand is that Nineveh, say Nineveh, worshipped Dagon. Do you know who Dagon was? Dagon later on becomes the god of the Philistines. But before he was the god of the Philistines stole Dagon. That's the reason you know it's not God. If you can steal somebody's god and put him in your pocket, he ain't God. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. You can't take my God away, baby. I don't wear him around my neck. I don't have him in my pocket. He's in my heart. Oh, who am I talking to in here? The God that I serve don't hang on my wall. The God that I serve lives in my heart. The God that I serve lives. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel, oh, hallelujah. So, whew. Tell somebody, here's your sign. Stay with me. Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. It's about to get good. But Nineveh worshiped the fish god. Say they get fish god. It was. How'd you know that, Big Daddy? He was half man, half fish. That's what the Philistine. Did you go to Sunday school when you were a little boy? You didn't. You were reading, okay? Well, did you know this? Did you know that before he became half man, half fish, the Philistines made him half man, half fish because they believed in the power of humanity. Nineveh, when they worshiped it, it was just a fish. It was all fish. Did you know that? Oh, you one smart joker. It was a one big fish. In the middle of the city was a golden pole. On top of that golden pole was a huge golden fish. Isn't it something that when God got ready to send a message of repentance, that he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my servant in the belly of your God. I'm going to put my prophet in the belly of your God. Can you imagine that young priest walking along the wall of the city of Nineveh when he looked out that first morning and saw the sun glistening off the scale of that fish that God had prepared? Here's that young priest saying, I don't believe it's really real. We're just worshiping idols and we've just learned how to have church and have people give offerings and go through the motions, but there's really not a fish God. Can you imagine what he saw when he saw his God come out of the ocean and the scale lighting up by the sunlight? Can you imagine what that young, my God, it's real, it's real. There is a fish God, there is a fish God. But before he could get too excited, his God got sick and his God beats up. Oh, I wish I could preach up in here. His God got sick, and when his God beats up on the sandy shore, when he opened his mouth to burp, out come a prophet, had seaweed wrapped around his neck, had little fish and minnows falling out of his pocket, had to straighten his tie, get the vomit off his tie, had to get the mucus off his bald head, and say, I come to preach, repent, for judgment is at hand. Repent for judgment. I feel like preaching in here. High five somebody and say, here's your sign. Oh, stay with me. I'm fixing to preach in here. So here's the deal. You stay with me. Just get quiet. Just I want you to hear this. Just stay, get ready. Just be ready. Let's just think. Say, think. If Jonah had only preached, there would not have been the revival that we see in Nineveh. But the reason the king down repented is because somebody saw God's prophet come walking out of the belly of their God. And when they saw that this Jehovah God was greater than Dagon, they said, we're going to serve him because we got a sign. We see the church coming out of the belly of the world. High five somebody and say, I'm your sign. This is the sign of the prophet Jonah, because Jesus died and rose again and said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you in the form of another comforter. The sign to the end time. The sign to somebody that's listening to me right now. Your sign are the ex-alcoholics in this room that have walked out of the bottle and are saying, I'm free, I'm free. Who am I preaching to? Here's your sign. Where's all the ex-drunks at? Get out in the aisle. Here's your sign. Where's the ex-alcoholic? Come on, Big Daddy. Where's the ex-alcoholics at? You ought to get out in the aisle. If you're bound, I want you to look at these people. God has brought them out of bondage. He has brought them out of darkness. I wish every ex-liar, I wish every ex-drug addict would just get out in the aisle. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Do I have any crack addicts in here? Do I have anybody that was on crack cocaine, crystal meth? You was on cocaine, you was on marijuana. You've been tweaking and weeding and but look what the Lord has done. I'm preaching to somebody. Here's your sign. If you want to ask for an end time sign, I'm going to show you a church that is walking out of perversion. They're walking out of addiction. They're walking out of suicide. They're walking out of poverty. They're walking out of fear. They're walking out of insecurity. They're walking out of bondage. Whew.
See, you're not getting it. Sis, you are the end time sign. I am the sign of the prophet Jonah. I have walked out of the God of this world. The God of plenty, the God of prosperity, the God of Babylon, the God of Hollywood, the God of name it and claim it, the God of feel good prosperity religion, the God of addiction, and if it feels good, do it, the God of perversion and drug. I am the sign. And if we could ever get that revelation today, that there are people in this room that if the world could really see what God brought you out of, there are people in this room shouting, but they still have seaweed wrapped around their neck because hell had to burp them up. Hey, hey, there's people in this room that says, I'm not perfect, but I'm been forgiven. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes, but I'm walking out of the belly. I'm walking out of the belly of the way. I'm free. Here's your sign. Tell somebody, here's your sign. I am your sign. Look at me. Look what the Lord has done. Stand with me. Musicians, come. Am I making any sense? You can super spiritualize it. We can look at types and shadows. I got so confused last night. There are thousands of web pages on prophetic signs, and almost none of them agree with where we are in the end time. So I did not come to give you my philosophy or my opinion. I come to find somebody in this room that if it wasn't for Jesus, you'd be dead. Where are you? Where are you? Woo. And I want somebody out there to look at them. Here's your sign. I want somebody in here, if it wasn't for Jesus, you'd be divorced. You might already have been divorced one time, but if it wasn't for Jesus, you'd be on your sixth or seventh husband. But look what the Lord has done. If it wasn't for Jesus, you would have already committed suicide. Am I preaching to anybody? Is anybody here, if it wouldn't for what God has done, you'd be in jail right now? If it wouldn't for the goodness of the Lord, you'd be locked up in jail. Look what the Lord has done. Some of you don't want to admit it. Some of you young girls already, if it wouldn't for the Lord, you'd already be pregnant. If it wouldn't for the Lord, some of you young men, you'd already have three or four babies out there. But look what the Lord has done. And I want people that are looking. I want somebody here. That if you're bound today, these are your signs. These are your signs that Jesus is really coming. Because he's pulling people out from the God of this world. Every eye closed, raise your hands and let's pray all over this church. From the back to the front, from the left to the right. Singers pray, musicians pray, preachers pray, saints of God pray, children of God pray. That's it, somebody pray. I see tears beginning to flow down somebody's face. If you're a visitor today, do not be offended at our worship and our exhibitionism of exuberance, but somehow allow the spirit of conviction to reach down in your heart. Are you ready? Maranatha. Maranatha. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, Lord, I see people weeping in here. Are there secrets that you don't want anybody to know about? Are you ready? Are there things that you don't want anybody to know about your private life and your personality and your proclivity to addiction? What is it that you're trying to hide? Today's the day to get ready. What is it that you're struggling with that you wish nobody would ever find? Today's the day to get ready. I'd ask these people to back up. I want you to say, if you'd back up, don't leave, but just back up. I rarely do this in my meetings. Just back up. Normally, when I get through preaching, sister, people are already in the altar. My wife laughs at me because she says, normally when I preach, after about the first 3 minutes, most people stand up. Not just here, but almost everywhere. It's just, I don't know, I'm kind of weird. People just stand up. But today's a little different. I'm going to do what we call an old-fashioned altar call. Not for God. He knows your heart. Not for the people around here that want to gossip on you and say, oh, what's wrong with her? I'm doing it for you as a test of obedience to put your flesh under subjection and say, I don't care who knows God. I am making a sincere choice that I'm going to step out of my pew and walk down that front and I'm going to get right today. You're going to deliver me today. Today is the day that this stops. Today is the day that I become born again and I become a new creature. This church has been trained and prepared how to lead you to Calvary, how to prepare your heart for the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. They are prepared to water baptize you, not to join a church or a denomination, but to have your sins washed away by the blood of Calvary. This church is prepared to do that today. Take your neighbor by the hand all over this building, every eye closed. The musicians are getting ready to lead us. Now I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I pray this prayer, I want you to search your heart. Listen to me. If you are not ready to either be raptured or to endure hardship for the Lord, if you're a feel-good Christian, if the loaves and the fishes have brought you this far, it's time to get right. It's time to get serious. It's time to commit. It's time to say, you know, I got to wave some things goodbye. I've got to tell some people I can't hang out with you, can't talk to you, can't go with you. I just got, it's over with. I can't do that, can't be that. I can't be bound by that. Some of you need to go back and flush something down the toilet. There's some of you here, you need to make a phone call. You need to send an email and push delete when you're through. There's some of you in here, the Holy Ghost is pulling on you right now. He is revealing things to you. He knows the thoughts and the intent of your heart. He understands exactly where you're at, what you're doing, where you're going. Whew. So what I'm asking are for people who have not really had a commitment to suffer with him so they'll reign with him. Are people who really don't know if you're ready, if Jesus would come today, if you would die today, where would you go? Oh, Lord, I feel you, Jesus. We're going to pray right now. Saints of God, begin to travail. After you examine your own heart, begin to pray for the person you're standing holding their hand. Because the prayer you pray may be the prayer that separates them from a devil's eternity or the grace of God. Right now, pray in Jesus' name. The prayer you pray standing in the chair, standing in the pew. The prayer you pray may be the prayer that begins to melt the heart. The prayer you pray is the prayer that begins to melt the heart and begins to break down defenses and barriers and concepts and ideas. The prayer you pray is the prayer that could separate their eternity. Saved or lost? Ah, well done, or I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. That's what's going on in this room today. That's the separation point. That's the separate. Hallelujah. We need to pray. Feel that. People are travailing. People are travailing. People are. Come on, do it some more. Pray with your neighbor. Pray with your neighbor. Now, if you're ready to come, get right with God. If you're ready to come, I don't care if this is your first service here. It doesn't matter if you've been here for years and there's things you're struggling with. I'm asking you to come to this front. Break past these people. Come to this front and raise your hands right now, and the deliverer's going to pull you out. The spirit of Jonah is going to pull you out. The anointing that pulled Jonah out of the belly of the whale. The anointing that resurrected the man Jesus on the third day. That same anointing. That same power. He cut down the motion. Something's in this room right now. My God in heaven, there's deliverance coming in this room. There is deliverance over addiction. There is deliverance over bondage. There's deliverance over fear. Come on up here with tears flowing. Come on up here in desperation. There's young ladies coming. There's young men. Get up here. Honey, there can be 10 or 15 people get the Holy Ghost today. There's people. I'm asking you, please, ma'am, come. Please get right with God. Please get ready. Today's today. Today's today. Here's your sign. This sermon was your sign. This response is your sign. People weeping and praying. Before we sing, you want to take somebody by the hand, say, come with me. Before we start singing, you want to take somebody by the hand, say, come with me. Babe, come help me pray. Before we sing, do you want to take somebody and say, come with me. Come on. That's it. Take them. Come out of here and say, come with me. I don't want anybody to go to hell. You're not joining a church, but I don't want you to go to hell. I'm not asking you to be like me, but I don't want you to go to hell. Hey, hey, hey. Spirit of backsliding can be broken in this room right now. The proclivity of failure can be broken in this room right now. The desire of the world can be broken in this place. Huh?
pray. Come on now. Holy Ghost is here. I'm telling you, there's time to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today is deliverance in this room. Deliverance today.
I'm going to praise the Savior. Come help me praise Him. Oh yeah, look what the Lord has done. Oh yeah. He healed my body.
He touched my mind. He saved me.
Take me.